On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
We're fast approaching the baseball season, and this will be the 76th anniversary of one of the pivotal events of the post-war era, Jackie Robinson making his major league debut and breaking the color line. As the first black major leaguer since the 1880s, Jackie Robinson knew he was not going to be welcome into America's pastime with open arms. But his faith sustained him as an athlete and an activist. To talk to us about that is Gary Scott Smith, professor of history emeritus at Grove City College, where he taught from 1978 to 2017. In 2001, he was named Pennsylvania Professor of the Year by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. He's the author or editor of 18 books, including Duty and Destiny, The Life and Faith of Winston Churchill, and Religion in the Oval Office, The Religious Lives of American Presidents, and his latest book, Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson. It's from the Library of Religious Biography series from William B. Erdman's Publishing Company. We're delighted to welcome Gary Scott Smith for his first visit to On the Bookshelf.
My pleasure, Dave. As you noted, I've written about the faith of American presidents. I've had an interest in how the faith of different individuals impacts their political activities, political philosophy, policies, things of that sort. So Erdman's actually approached me to write a book for their series, Library of Religious Biography. And the only criterion was that the person be relatively well known. So I said, well, do you think Winston Churchill is well known enough? And of course they laughed at that. So I wrote the first book about Churchill, which I enjoyed doing immensely. And then I wrote a religious biography of Mark Twain for Oxford University Press. And so I kind of got into a rhythm, and I was interested in doing someone else. I had long taught sports and American history at Grove City College and have been an avid sports fan for quite some time. So in thinking about who to write another religious biography of, Jackie Robinson leaped out at me because he hadn't been part of this particular series, and there had been a couple of other religious biographies written about him, but I didn't think that either one of them completely captured how his faith impacted his life from Major League Baseball to his post-baseball career in civil rights activism. So that's what got me going, and it was a fun thing to do.
After reading your book, I understand what you're talking about now. I mean, I've read other biographies or articles about Jackie Robinson. I knew a little bit about Branch Rickey, and I knew that one of the reasons that he chose Jackie Robinson to be the man who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball was because of his faith, but I didn't realize how his faith informed him. I'm talking about Branch Rickey, nor how much it informed Jackie Robinson's life. Neither one of these men were people who were peripheral Christians or who gave lip service to the faith but then did not walk in it. Rather, both of these have extraordinary lives, and the intersection of their lives changed American history. I also didn't understand, until reading your book, how that became such a huge deal for Jackie Robinson to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. Because I have to be honest with you, it seemed to me like, well, that was nice, but it's not like the Civil Rights Movement. But as you talk about in your book, Strength for the Fight, this was a huge deal. Because Major League Baseball was by far America's absolute favorite sport in the post-World War II era.
Well, let me comment on both things that you've raised. Yes, faith was very, very important to both Jackie and to Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who was scouting around for a player to break that color barrier in the mid-1940s. And after considering a variety of candidates, chose Jackie. And I think the argument can be made that if it hadn't been for their shared Christian faith, both were Methodist, he would not have chosen Jackie. It was a strong factor in the choice that he made, because he believed that Jackie's faith gave him the kind of background and disposition and ability to stand up to the ridicule, the taunts, the slashing, the beanballs, all the things on and off the field that he was going to have to deal with to be the first black to play in the major leagues since the 1880s. So, yes, I think that their shared faith was incredibly important, and it was very deep and meaningful. It strengthened the bond between them. They had a three-hour meeting in the spring of 1945 where Branch Rickey quizzed Jackie Robinson about his faith and challenged him to think about turning the other cheek, which he said would be necessary to work out his acceptance. So, yeah, that was very, very important. And then we think about the general reason why breaking the color barrier was so significant. We could argue that this all happens before Rosa Parks, before Martin Luther King Jr., before Thurgood Marshall, before the modern civil rights movement as we know it gets underway. And they all looked, all these folks and many others, looked to Jackie as a pioneer. And not only did he quickly break the color barrier that allowed other blacks to be playing in the majors, and soon there were quite a few, but he also paved the way for blacks to play in the National Basketball Association, which was founded in 1950, and to be reconstituted again with blacks in the National Football League, and also spilled over into tennis for men and women, golf for men and women. So a lot of other sports followed suit, and Major League Baseball was way ahead of the curve, pardon the pun, in terms of the civil rights activism that happened there before it happened in many other areas of American society. So it was truly, truly an epic season that he had in 1947, and the results had tremendous impacts on many areas of American society.
In case folks are just now joining us, we're talking today to Gary Scott Smith, who is the author of Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson from William B. Erdman's Publishing Company. Let's go back to his early days and how the foundations of faith were laid in Jackie Robinson, because unfortunately his father left the family and the mom courageously picks up and moves to California, which is a pretty extraordinary thing, particularly in the day. It's her absolute determination and strong faith that helps him to realize his need for faith. But there was also somebody else who was involved, and that was a pastor who was incredibly important, Carl Downs.
There really were three formative influences spiritually in Jackie Robinson's life. His mother, his pastor, Carl Downs, who came to Pasadena when Jackie was 19 years old, and was only 26 years old himself, and then Branch Rickey, whom you've already mentioned. So, yes, his mother's faith was deep, very meaningful. She made all her five children, Jackie was the youngest of five, go to church regularly, but you know, Jackie didn't really enjoy doing that. He was kind of a rebellious teen. I explain in the book he was part of a what was called a Pepper Street gang. They were mischievous and lawbreaking, but not violent in any way. But he was undoubtedly headed down the path to juvenile delinquency, and then rescued by both his athleticism, his athletic career in junior college and at UCLA, and then also by his relationship with Carl Downs, who basically had heard about him and sought him out and kind of served as a surrogate father. You mentioned that Jackie's father had deserted him when he was an infant. And so Carl and Jackie became quite close. They played a lot of sports together. Carl got Jackie involved in teaching Sunday school at the Methodist Church in Pasadena. This was actually part of what became the United Methodist Church. So this wasn't part of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. This was a black congregation within the white denomination. They really laid a strong foundation between the two of them, Mally and Carl. Carl, unfortunately, died at a young age in 1948 when Jackie was in his second year in Major League Baseball. But yes, they had a tremendous formative influence upon him and helped shape the faith that Jackie had.
I also did not realize that Jackie Robinson was a standout athlete as a high school student and as a junior college student, and was surprised to hear that he was not only terrific baseball player, but he excelled in three other sports as well. And in junior college, he actually was more successful at those other three sports than he was baseball. Tell us a little bit about that.
He was a tremendous athlete across the board. He was a great golfer. He was a good swimmer. He played soccer as a younger child. He won a ping pong tournament for the city of Pasadena. There was virtually nothing athletically that he could not do. I think if you were to make an argument for, you know, who's the greatest athlete in American history, Jim Thorpe's probably going to head the list, but Jackie's going to be up there near the top. So both junior college and at UCLA, he lettered in four sports. And as you point out, ironically, baseball was the least successful sport for him there. In football, he led the nation in return yardage per punt. He also led the nation in yardage gained, yards per carry, 12.1, which is totally unheard of as a junior there at UCLA. He led the Pacific Athletic Conference, as it was then called, in scoring in basketball for 2 years. And he was such a great track athlete that he undoubtedly or very likely would have been representing the United States in the decathlon at the 1940 Olympics had it been held. But he won the broad jump in 1940 for the NCAA. So there was literally nothing that this guy couldn't do in the sports field. Nothing that he tried that he wasn't successful at.
One of the pivotal events that occurred for him was his brother Frank getting killed in a motorcycle accident right after Jackie entered UCLA. You write about that this was a very hard loss for him, right?
Yes, it was. He was very close to his brother. He was close to all his siblings, but I think Frank was a cheerleader for him, an encourager for him. So this was a devastating loss, and it took him quite a while to recover, and I think his faith helped him deal with that great loss that he experienced.
Now, after the basketball season ends in 1941, he drops out of school and works, including playing semi-professional football with the Honolulu Bears and doing construction work near Pearl Harbor. And one of the incredible things where God is protecting him in his life, he leaves Pearl Harbor 2 days before the attack. I found the information about his military service interesting, too. Again, I had never heard anything about this, that he was drafted and was a proficient marksman, passed the OCS test, but was denied admission because of his race.
He was, although Joe Louis, the boxer, the famous boxer, black boxer, intervened on his behalf, and he finally was commissioned a second lieutenant. But it took a lot of pressure from Louis and others to get that to happen. And then, of course, there was an episode I describe at length in the book where he was court-martialed for his refusal to move to the back of a military bus. So this is 11 years before Rosa Parks' experience. But the military had a policy that there was to be no buses were integrated and people could sit wherever they wanted to. But a civilian bus driver told him to move the back. Jackie refused, and the next stop got off and got into a heated discussion with some of the other military folks who were there, was charged with insubordination, was tried and acquitted in this court-martial. Obviously, if he had been expelled from the military, it would have made him a much less attractive candidate to Branch Rickey.
Sure.
To integrate baseball. But Jackie was always one who stood up for himself and was proud of being an African-American and his heritage that he had. So it was very difficult when Branch Rickey says to him, you know, for the first 3 years, you can't fight back. You can't respond to the taunts. You can't in any way physically or verbally respond to the abuse that you're going to receive. Now, eventually, Branch Rickey does ease up a little bit, and so by his second year, Jackie is able to respond verbally to some of the taunting and some of the insults. But the interesting thing is that, and I describe in the book, is his teammates stood up for him. Some of them were quite reluctant initially to play with an African-American, but they quickly realized both the contribution that Robinson was making to their team. The very first season he was with the Dodgers, they won the National League pennant, but they also recognized the quality of him as a person, and they were attracted to his faith and his personality. So all that said, yes, he was someone who wanted, and that served him very well in his baseball career, and also served him very well later in his civil rights activism when he takes on presidents and other politicians and leaders in the African-American community, like Malcolm X, who are taking a position advocating violence.
One of the things that is probably not talked about very much, and you also address this in the book, that when after Branch Rickey decided to integrate Major League Baseball, he estimated he lost $500,000 that year in gate revenues because other team scouts were warning players that if they signed with Brooklyn, they'd have to play with African Americans. It seems so wrong in on so many levels, because there were apparently baseball players who were white who didn't have any problem playing with any kind of people of color, Hispanics, Cubans, Dominicans, etc. And yet there were those baseball players who were not as open-minded about that, which is sad, but those were the times.
Absolutely. And things did improve as the years went on, but all the way up into the next group of players who came along, like Bill White and Curt Flood, Lou Brock, they still experienced a good deal of discrimination, particularly in spring training when they were playing in various venues in the South. So yes, there was sadly quite a bit of racism. It did diminish after the first year, and partly I think it diminished because Jackie showed he could play. And that's what made his first year so challenging, because he realized he had kind of the weight of the black community on his shoulders, and if he didn't perform well, it might be a long time before another African-American had a chance to play in Major League Baseball. So baseball is a challenging enough sport anyway. It's obviously hitting a 90-mile-an-hour fastball is not an easy thing to do. But when you have recognized that what you're doing is going to impact a whole group of people, your racial group, that ups the ante quite a bit, and that's what Robinson felt. But under that tremendous pressure, he succeeded. And again, he talked about praying every night for God's guidance and strength, and he really felt that God's power in his life was what enabled him to deal with both the on and off the field challenges.
Another thing about your book that surprised me, I grew up in Daytona Beach, and in Daytona Beach, they make a big thing about how proud they were that Jackie Robinson played there, that the first spring training game that he played in Daytona Beach drew the largest crowd ever at the City Island Ballpark, 4,000 spectators. And yet, it was not without peril. It was not without threats and so forth. No other Florida cities allowed Robinson to play in them. They practiced for a while at Sanford, the home of Dodger announcer Red Barber, but they had a big Ku Klux Klan branch there. People from Florida like to think that they were much more progressive than the rest of the South, but the sad truth is racism was ubiquitous in America in the late 1940s, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I describe what you just talked about in some detail in the book.
Yes.
Listeners who have seen the movie 42, the 2013 movie with Chad Bosman playing Jackie Robinson, there's a big scene in that movie about them getting to Florida and all the troubles they encountered, and then a lot of the racism they experienced while they were there. So
yeah.
Some listeners may have visual images of all that.
I know it's not fair to just talk about Jackie Robinson as a superior baseball player and the things that he experienced when he broke the color barrier, but I know we don't have all the time in the world, and I want to be sure that we talk about what his life was like after he retired from baseball because he had a long and exceptional life as someone who was a civil rights proponent. He'd earned that the hard way through what he'd put up with as the first African-American Major League Baseball player. What do you think were the biggest challenges that he faced post-baseball career?
Well, I talk about four different areas of his life after he retires from Major League Baseball. His religious activism, his political activism, which involved engaging with the presidents of the United States and then campaign and challenging them about reducing racism and discrimination in American society. And also his campaigning on behalf of various presidential candidates, and particularly Nelson Rockefeller as governor of New York. And then thirdly, I talk about the businesses that he established. So he was very much engaged in believing that blacks needed to take the initiative, not depend upon the government, engage in individual responsibility. And so he founded a number of businesses in the New York metropolitan area to provide employment for blacks. And also he was a co-founder of what was called Freedom Bank in Harlem, which was a bank that would lend to blacks to be able to buy homes when other financial institutions wouldn't lend the money. Then the fourth area is his civil rights activism. And he faced all kinds of challenges in those areas. Probably the biggest one was that he was kind of in the middle between the more conservative blacks who were running the NAACP and the more radical blacks who were calling for revolution and supporting the Black Panthers and Malcolm X and so on. And so he took it from both sides. Some thought he was an Uncle Tom. He was too open to and supportive of whites and wasn't radical enough. And others accused him of being too radical and not going with the flow of the NAACP, the predominant black activist organization. So he actually shared a lot in common with Martin Luther King Jr. I think they saw the world in civil rights activism in a very similar kind of way. They disagreed about the Vietnam War. They disagreed about, I don't think Robinson was as nonviolent oriented, although he never actually engaged in any violence himself as King was. But so anyway, those are the kind of challenges that he faced. Perhaps the biggest challenge I talk about at length in the book was the loss of his son, Jackie Jr., in a car accident the year before Jackie himself died at age 57. And that was particularly traumatic because his son had got involved in drugs in high school, had joined the military, had got again involved in drugs when he was in Vietnam, came back out of Vietnam, was using drugs and got into a program in Connecticut. That program got him off drugs, and then he became a counselor in that program. And so Jackie felt like he had gotten his son back after all this, and then he dies in a car crash late one night.
He certainly had great losses that he had to face, and that was one of the most heartbreaking. What I had not known about one of the sadder moments in the book. The ongoing impact of Jackie Robinson continues to be a person that stood up for the right, even when it was incredibly unpopular, even when he was assailed on many, many fronts. It's hard to believe that people would unleash such vitriol on him and do stupid and mean things to him consistently for years. But he hung tough and kept the promise that he made to Branch Rickey that he wasn't going to lash back at anybody. And I think that's one of the things that has always drawn me to him as an icon and as a hero, that he had the courage of his convictions and the strength of his faith enabled him to bear all these things because he saw a greater good.
That's incredibly true, Dave.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about your book that I neglected to ask you?
Well, I do talk about in the book the number of people who were inspired by Jackie Robinson, from King himself to Barack Obama to Hank Aaron to many, of course, other Major League Baseball players, but people in other sports, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell. I talk about entertainers, just a whole host of other people who found inspiration in Jackie, and basically said he paved the trail well for us, and then we were able to follow it. We encountered difficulties, challenges, but probably not to the extent that he did. You know, he got all kinds of death threats. You tell that in the book. And then I guess I would emphasize, I do talk a little bit also about other critics in Major League Baseball, because I wanted to situate what he did in light of other people who were outspoken about their faith. And so I talk about that, from Christy Mathewson in the 1910s all the way through today, and kind of talk about how many Major League Baseball players have had strong faith and testified to it in one way, shape, or another.
It is an extremely interesting and very informative book. Gary Scott, do you have a website where people...
I do not have a particular website. Oh. I have an author's page at Amazon.com that people could check out.
Hey,
well, thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for the wonderful book, and I hope to talk to you again.
Well, thank you so much for contacting me and for reading my books and for having me on, Dave.
Absolutely. We'll do it again.
Take care. God bless.
Okay. Our guest again today, Professor of History Emeritus Gary Scott Smith, who taught at Grove City College from 1978 to 2017. In 2001, he was named Pennsylvania Professor of the Year by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. His latest book, Strength for the Fight: The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson, from William B. Erdman's Publishing. It is part of a very lengthy series called The Library of Religious Biography from Erdman's, and he also has a couple of others in that series, including Duty and Destiny, The Life and Faith of Winston Churchill, which I'll be reviewing very soon, so be listening for that. Thanks so much for joining us for this very special program for American History Month and Black History Month. We hope that you will stay tuned to WTBF and continue to enjoy the people that we have the opportunity to host on the program. We also hope you'll check out my podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com, where you can find over 450 interviews that I've done on this radio program over the last 13 years are archived there, and you can check them out anytime you want to. Until next time, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.